Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RT Radio 1.
Now, that is, of course, Ronda alla Turca from Mozart's Piano Sonata number... Sarah, number? Number? Number?
Stop it.
Number 11. It's in the bloody intro. Number 11 in A major, performed by Lang Lang. And we're playing you that because new research says that learning the piano in later life can actually slow down the process of cognitive decline in people. Now, we've all heard about crosswords and jigsaws and Wordle and everything else, but the guys who've done this new piece of research, they're Swiss and they're German scientists, and they say that the best brain exercise is learning a new instrument. Now, we don't muck around in this program. We have sought the best, Ireland's world-renowned concert orchestra conductor and choir master, David Brophy, and he joins us to talk about this new research. Fresh, I hear, David, from rehearsals with the RTE Concert Orchestra. You're very welcome indeed.
Thanks, Cormac. Good to be here.
Now, what did you make of this new research?
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, what researchers did is they took a series of volunteers aged between 62 and 78, and they gave them a piano lesson once a week for 6 months. And they found that neural cognition and particularly short-term memory improved greatly over that time. And it seems that learning an instrument which involves like four different faculties, which is obviously listening is one thing, but also your visual faculties, you're reading music or you're looking at your hands on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Sensory faculties, which is like maybe feeling where the three black notes or two black notes that Lang Lang was feeling there in that recording of Ronda alla Turca. And then also the basic motor, being able to control your fingers, where they go. So there's four different things that happen. And what they reckon is that those four different faculties spark four different parts of the brain. And okay. That's the key thing. It's not just one part of the brain. It's four different parts of the brain. And the neural activity, that neurons actually start speaking, communicating with each other in different parts of the brain. And that's where the magic is in all of
and
this.
And it's also fresh and exciting for the person learning this for the first time. Usually as well, as you know, David, there's a kind of a social element to playing music or being in a choir or whatever. That must help as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the researchers maintain that actually if you haven't learned... This is what intrigued me. If you haven't learned a musical instrument up to now and you're doing it for the first time, that's where you get the most benefits. So wow. I'm lost.
If I
get to my mid-60s, things go bad. Like, there's no point in me learning. I have to learn something different, you know. But we also know that if you sing in a choir, your brain releases endorphins and oxytocin. But we also know that research and singing in a choir, that social aspect of singing in a choir, we know that people in a room together, like 50 people in a room, after like something like 15 minutes, all their heart rates start actually moving and pulsating at the same tempo because
really?
They're all breathing in the same place and they're all singing the same length of phrase. It makes total sense.
Wow.
But this is something that, you know, if you're not interested in joining a choir and you want to just learn something on your own, this is something that's actually new research suggests that, you know, just learning a musical instrument can be as beneficial, if not more beneficial.
I wonder about this, right, because I learned the piano when I was a kid and I hated every minute of it. I got to grade 8.
That's impressive.
I know, for somebody who's really...
for somebody who didn't like it.
Doesn't have a musical bone in their body. It was just pure intention. But I found it stressful. You know, I did. I found it stressful and frustrating and difficult, like not really enjoyable at all. So I just wonder if you're like me, can it still be as helpful?
Well, it's probably people, because I've met people in choirs and also people who play musical instruments as well, who didn't have great experiences when they were kids. They were forced to go to... as my father used to say, Sister Mary Wheelbarrow for piano lessons, you know, and you get the ruler over the knuckles if something went wrong, you know, and that there are people who are possibly scarred, maybe like you, Sarah, from childhood bad experience of piano, and that maybe this is something after retirement, like later on in life, you kind of revisit. I've also met people who... I've met people who sung in choirs, particularly the Carers Choir I worked with many, many years ago and before the pandemic. And there's one woman there who had never really sung before at all. And she was kind of quite fearful of singing in the choir. And I said, just come along to rehearsal. Don't sing. Have the cup of tea in the interval, in the break, in the middle of the rehearsal. And then she started singing. And then she just said to me, I never thought I had a voice.
Oh.
And that's how powerful is that.
So maybe I'm an amazing piano player.
Yeah,
is that what
maybe,
you're telling me? That's what I'm choosing to hear from that story.
But it's also about desire. I mean, if you're young and you don't really want to go and your mother makes you go to lessons or somebody makes you home makes you go to lessons, if you you've got a desire, that's a key thing.
Well, I wonder, sorry, and I know you're not the researchers on this, but I just wonder your read of it. If you're someone who has learned one instrument, we'll take piano as an example, at a younger age, and you're listening to this research and you'd like to, you know, exercise your brain and your hands and everything that you've described, if you picked up guitar, would it have the same benefits? As in, because that's a brand new instrument, or is it if you've learned any instrument, then...
I think if the research suggests, what I've read is that if you've learned any instrument,
oh, really?
it's not as potent. Now, I actually have, I'd maybe think, somebody asked me earlier today, what instrument would you like to learn if you were like at the end? I'd love to learn some traditional music because I've worked traditional music my whole life, but I've actually never played traditional instrument, you know, so maybe I might learn in a pipe or something when I'm in my 70s, but I'm not sure that's going to do me much good. I think I might have to learn.
You think it would be completely different though?
Yeah.
You know, completely different discipline, guitar and piano. No.
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, like, reading the research, it seems to suggest, like, you look at the coordination between plucking a string and putting your left finger in the right place on the fretboard. That level of coordination, and then looking at both and then listening to the sound coming back. This is the key thing of this research that I didn't know. It's the functioning of, like, three or four different aspects at the same time that connects your neural activity across the brain, creates new neural patterns, and that's where the potency is in this. And apparently it's good for short-term memory. Like, we know that our brains shrink when we get to 60s and 70 years of age, our brains start shrinking, and this activity, learning a new instrument, can increase the grey matter, which is the matter that's around the brain.
But I'll tell you one thing, David, Sarah has no cognitive decline because they are different instruments. She's absolutely correct there. There's no question about it.
She's raising her eyes to heaven. You should know that. I saw that.
She's well used to it this age. Come here, though.
Go on.
One thing they have in common, all of those instruments, if you haven't learned them before, is the frustration that goes along with them. When you're trying to learn something first, and if it's a tin whistle and you don't have the hole covered fully, it makes that squeaky sound.
I just made this exact point. Go on.
Are you pointing to my cognitive decline here? My question is, how do you get around the frustration?
Yeah, okay.
I suppose that is a good point. I mean, I would say...
Thank you.
We all know, there's probably people out there listening who remember when they're, particularly the violin, because with a piano, you can go to piano and play a note and it sounds like the note.
Yeah.
Whereas on a violin, you've got to make the note. You've got to put your left finger on the right part of the string. And if it's not the right part of the string, it just sounds out of tune. And like parents who've got like small kids who are learning violin, like 6-7 year olds, they do have to go through 2 or 3 years of listening next door, you know, oh my god, when are they ever going to play it in tune? And eventually, after a few years, the kids start connecting, oh, this is the way to play an F sharp, you know.
Yeah, and it's alright if you're younger, but Sarah said to me before the program, older people are set in their ways.
I did.
Therapy. This whole interview feels like therapy to me. Like, you're telling me all your problems.
She said older people can't get around the frustration.
Stop making up stories, like, if you don't mind.
So what do you say to that, David?
The research is clear. If you have never learned a musical instrument and you're in your 60s and 70s, and maybe you're, you know, they talk about, actually, one of the things they talk about in the research is that, you know, when we get older, when you're in a restaurant or a bar, and actually we find it hard to differentiate conversation that's right beside us from the background noise.
Mm-hmm.
That's called, I think, the cocktail party effect. That's a real thing that happens to people. That apparently if you don't play a musical instrument or you listen to music attentively, so for those people who have music on the background where they're scrolling over their phone or reading a book, the research also suggests that if you don't read the book and don't scroll your book and actually sit and just focus on the music, that your hearing improves. That's weird.
Really?
But your ability to hear in a restaurant or a crowded bar improves by just listening actively to music. Now, they suggest that you should go to maybe music appreciation classes to listen to, well, how does the melody change and how does the rhythm change, or how does it get louder or softer? But if you listen to music attentively in your 60s and 70s, apparently that thing that we all suffer from when we get to old age, where you can't differentiate the foreground noise from the background noise, that apparently improves as well.
Can I ask you just very quickly then, from what I've picked up, if people are out there and want to pick up an instrument, you're saying piano would be a good start because you don't have to go through that like excruciating 3 years of trying to find the note.
Potentially, but go to the instrument you're passionate about. Go to the instrument that you'll persevere with, because everyone has an instrument they love. People say, oh, I'd love to play the oboe. It's a very difficult instrument. I'd love to play a cello. Okay. That's a difficult one too. But the easiest one in terms of being able to play a tune quickly is, I would say, the piano as a pianist.
Look, David, thanks for participating in the therapy. You'll be conducting the RT Concert Orchestra. Is it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night I'm in the National Concert Hall with the fantastic Guy Barker, English trumpeter and arranger and orchestrator and all-round guy. And we've got his History of Soul. So we've got an evening of soul music at the National Concert Hall tomorrow night.
Sounds
Talk
amazing.
About musical appreciation. Look, David Brophy, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.